Thank you for that wonderful song. I was starting to think of pumpkins and leaves, and so I guess we can sing that song anytime. My name is Steve, in case you don't know me. I'm on staff here, one of the pastors. I love pastoring here. Thank you. I owe him $10. All right. How many of us are familiar with LinkedIn? Anybody here familiar with LinkedIn? Okay. Anybody have an account on LinkedIn? Okay, so do I, but I rarely ever check it, only when I feel insecure. You know, Rick's on my case, and I have to go back to LinkedIn and update my profile. Just kidding. In case you don't know, LinkedIn is a social networking site, particularly designed for business professionals to connect with one another, you know, post their resumes, that sort of thing. And this Wednesday, as I was checking my phone, I got this message from LinkedIn, which said, "Hey, wish your friend happy birthday." And so, you know, I'd never used LinkedIn for that. So I got on LinkedIn and I sent him a message, and it said something like this: "May joy fill your whole being as you sense the unrelenting grace and love of the Heavenly Father for you. You are golden to Him." And I put it in brackets, Isaiah 43. And I sent that off, and I went, oh no. Oh no! Uh-oh. I'd never used that before, and I had this great fear that I had outed my friend as a Christian. You know how, like, on Facebook, you put stuff on and it goes on their wall and people can read it? Well, I thought that's exactly what's going to happen. Maybe this guy didn't want people to know he was a Christian. Because after all, sometimes when people know you're a Christian, I don't know if you've experienced this, but they make all kinds of judgments about you, right? And you know, sometimes I think actually it can even affect business relationships. And I thought, oh no, you know, what is this guy going to think of me now that I've outed him? I hope he's not upset with me. Well, there was a sigh of relief as I started to look around and realize that this wasn't going to be available for other people to view. You know, whether you're a believer this morning or not, when you hear the word Christian, or at least in our society, people don't always think the best thing. Wouldn't you agree? Sure. Okay, slip down on me here.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, let me just move this down here.
Okay, there we go. All right. Okay, now so I have to start from the beginning again. All right. Anyways, as I was saying, you know, whether the word Christian doesn't bring about something positive in the minds of people. You might remember the character of the church lady on SNL, to Ned Flanders on Simpsons, to the, you know, portrayal of believers as flat earthers and science deniers in the halls of academia, or even on social media boards. You know, whenever there's a story that involves some Christian person, there's always all kinds of negative things that go on there. In fact, it was only 5 years ago in 2013 that a plaintiff took a case to the Supreme Court of Canada in which they wanted the Bible banned in Canada because they said it was hate speech. I mean, I went to the Supreme Court of Canada. Supreme Court ruled against that. But I put forward to you that those are the times that we live in. And as society, you know, desires to be more progressive and tolerant and rework their idea of what is and isn't diversity, there's all kinds of pressure on people to conform to, you know, the new diversity or shut up. And when discussions come up in offices or coffee shops or neighborhoods or online comment sections, the message generally is to anyone who expresses anything to do with the Christian faith, you know, keep your ignorant religious views out of any discussion about morals or anything. Are you guys tracking with what I'm saying? Does this make sense? Okay, maybe it's not your experience. It's probably why, I think, when some people ask us if we go to work tomorrow and they ask us, "Hey, what did you do for your weekend?" that we're not going to say, "We went to church." I mean, isn't that true? We went to church. Some of us might say, "Hey, yeah, as part of my weekend, you know, I went to church." But I'm not sure all of us would necessarily say that because, you know, we're not sure how the person would react. Again, the idea that we fear, you know, people's irrational judgments of us just because we go to church. There's always a lot of pressure to just shut up and conform to the majority. And all of this negative pushback can leave us feeling discouraged, cynical, and maybe wondering whether, you know, we really should not just give in to the host culture and conform. I mean, is it really worth it to stand up and live your faith in a hostile culture? Certainly it's true that some people have done that, either quietly or just have given up on their faith. And as we continue to walk through this sermon series in the book of Genesis, we meet someone who helps us to understand why following God wholeheartedly is not only reasonable in a hostile culture, but it's also rewarding. So it's not only reasonable in a hostile culture, but it's rewarding to remain faithful to God. So let's turn to our main text this morning as we discover who this exemplary figure of faithfulness is. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua, or if you have your devices, you can look it up or follow along with me on the screen as we look at Joshua 14, 5 to 10. And this is an individual who comes up and gives a speech. What's happened up to this time is that the Israelites, while they haven't conquered all of the lands, they've conquered much of the central area. And they've been fighting for about 5 years, and they've made some good gains, and now the land begins by throwing lots to be divvied up to different people. And that's where our scene begins. So we're going to start in verse 5 of Joshua 14. So the land was distributed in strict accordance with the Lord's commands to Moses. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and I gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. So in this speech, we see that Caleb is recounting some history, from phrases like "now you can see," or in this passage he uses the word "remember" twice to tell this story. He has this flashback, and he goes 40 years of history. And everyone listening to his speech would be very familiar with some of the things that he's sharing. And as he's sharing them, I'm sure he had a flashback, and he thought about, you know, all of the particular details that he doesn't really get into as he's sharing this. All the emotions would have come up in this speech. So in order to help us to understand what his audience would have known, let's turn back to what he's actually referring to. So we're going to go now to Numbers 13:25. I'm going to read into Numbers chapter 14. So if you have that in your Bibles, you can turn back or follow me on the screen. And here it is. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed it is a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But, the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too of us. Then the whole community began weeping out loud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country, only to have us die in a battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb, tore their clothing. They said to the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after the miraculous signs I've done among them? And jumping to verse 23, they will never see the land I swore to their ancestors. None of those who treated me with contempt will ever see it. But, my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Isn't that amazing? And it takes 45 years. 40 years in the wilderness, about 5 years of fighting, before Caleb can get before everybody and say, see, God's faithful. The enemies were not able to beat us. Some people thought the enemies could beat us, but they weren't. It took them 45 years. Now, he could have been really pessimistic all this time because he was faithful. Joshua was faithful. But what happened was because of the sin of the people, God said, you guys aren't going anywhere. You're not ready. I mean, if you have an attitude that you can't win and you don't believe me, you certainly can't win without me, you're not going anywhere now. And so they just hung around for 40 years. And during that 40 years, Caleb remained faithful, even though he could have said, you know what? People are faithless. I'm suffering because of these people. But he stayed there due to no fault of his own. And he had to wander for the 40 years. And he suffered because of the faithfulness of the children of Israel. And those 40 years were probably not easy, because probably many times during that time, you know, the people grumbled and complained that the enemies were going to attack them and they should get new leadership, and the terrain was rough and life was better, you know, in Egypt under slavery. But the steadfastness of Cable's commitment to God during these troubling years is a great testament to that man. Sometimes it's very difficult to stay the course while we are going through undeserved heartaches and problems. And through all of this, he never blamed God, but simply trusted that the God who made his promise, who promised that he would have the land, would have the land. So what an awesome day for him to come up with Joshua, the man who had also been faithful, and bring along his comrades and say, listen, as you're giving out the land, remember, not only did Moses promise me this, but God promised me this. And three times, if we go back to our original scripture in Joshua 14, three times in verses 8, 9, and 14, we read this phrase referring to Caleb. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And this is something that Joshua is commended for in several Bible books. So what does it mean in our time to wholeheartedly follow the Lord? How can we do the same in a faithless world? Well, first of all, being a wholehearted follower requires a decision. Decision is either to follow the Lord or to follow greed, popularity, sensuality, control, or whatever we think will fill up our appetite. It's a decision. It's not a coerced decision. And it's the decision that we always face. In fact, in Joshua 24:15, if we move a little bit further down the book, we read the following words of Joshua to the people. And this is what he says in Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorite in whose lands you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So who will we serve? We'll have to serve somebody. Who will we serve? So here's a few questions to assess if we've decided to follow the Lord or some other gods. Let's ask ourselves, do I trust God in his plan and his words? Do I think God's will is best to lead me to a greater life? In our previous passage that we read, we realized that the Israelites thought, no, let's go back to Egypt. Let's do things the way we used to do them. They grumbled. They said, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? They had no confidence in the Lord. What about yourselves? Where's our confidence? Is our confidence that if we stay according to the plans of God, he will show himself faithful? It's very easy to just kind of go along with the crowd, isn't it? Another question to ask ourselves is, whose opinion of me, whose opinion of success matters most? God's or others? We will seek to live according to what we value. And Numbers 14 tells us something about Caleb. And this is a wonderful statement. God saw Caleb as his servant. That's what he says. Imagine, God is involved in our lives. He knows everything that's going on. He sees all of the talk, all of the grumbling, and he sees who's living faithfully. And in Numbers 14:24, it says, but my servant Caleb, see, it's God's servant. Caleb has chosen to serve God. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. So Caleb chose, made a decision, I'm going to be God's servant. And he continued that, even in terms of the opposition, even when they said, we ought to kill Caleb and Joshua. So think back to when we read that story and he was sharing it. And perhaps as he was sharing that story to Joshua, Joshua thought too to those days back then. And Caleb thought to those days back then. It's amazing we're here 45 years later, because there was a time they wanted to kill us. The very people, would be the ancestors of some of these very people that we are now talking this about. God proved himself faithful. And this decision is not a one-time thing, but one we make regularly. And again, we're not talking about perfection, but being committed to a decision. We will fail at times, like the Apostle Paul. Even Paul said, not that I have attained, but I press on. We recommit to our decision and get back to serving the Lord when we go off the path. To follow the Lord not only requires a wholehearted decision, but living a life of wholeheartedness to the Lord involves complete dedication. Wholeheartedness involves complete dedication. And dedication is defined as showing or characterizing complete sincerity and commitment. And we find the following recorded about Caleb's wholehearted devotion. In Deuteronomy 1:36, we read this. He will see this land because he has followed the Lord completely. I will give it to him and his descendants, some of the very land he explored during his scouting mission. We are called to love God without reserve, completely, with our whole being, with all that we have. It's not easy to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might, in a culture that is calling us to love the opinions of others, or popularity, or be driven by sensual things that are always put before us. And this commitment doesn't happen by osmosis. It just doesn't happen. We must grow into completeness, the Bible says. And we do this by a commitment to grow. Philippians 2:12 reminds us to work out our salvation, not work for our salvation, but to work it out. God's begun a good work in us. And now we must grow into that maturity. And therefore, like Olympic athletes who take part in exercises, we need to build our spiritual muscles. And we do that by joining a discipleship group, by reading scripture regularly, and we serve in the areas that God has gifted us in. That's how we do that. We grow in our faith. So wholehearted following requires a wholehearted decision, a complete dedication, and wholehearted determination. And determination is defined as enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Caleb inherited what God had promised because his faith endured over time. And while others gave reasons not to follow God, Caleb believed that God's ways were best, and he was rewarded for it. See, the story of Caleb is recorded to show us that the challenges that we face are nothing in comparison to our dependence on God. It doesn't matter what we face. God always triumphs against opposition. And whatever the opposition is today, God will triumph against it. The question is, will I remain faithful? Or will I go with what is easy? That's the question. God is looking for people who will remain faithful, who will be ethical in the way they do their work, who will be forgiving, who will be merciful, who won't be vengeful, who will live a Jesus-shaped life among the people around them. They'll have mercy on those who won't have mercy. They'll have compassion on those who won't have compassion. They won't go in with the crowd. And so, friends, when we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, we actually do live a life of blessing. And not just in tangible ways where we receive material gifts like Caleb did. We are We are rewarded by the fact that we serve the living God, the God of victory. And what better reward is that than to choose the right side? We are rewarded by the fact that our faithfulness and our integrity remain intact as we set an example for our families and watching world. And the world is always watching. You might have heard in the Olympics, you know, we've kind of got a black mark against us now. It wasn't for doping, it was for stealing a vehicle and impaired driving. Some of you might have seen a skier and his wife and a manager did that, and the world is watching. All of those who heard the speech would have been marveled at this man's faithfulness, his endurance for 45 years. Finally, not only do we see our integrity in place, but we glorify God, but we are rewarded as we walk with God by his joy, his peace, his patience, our own character transformation. And so there is reward for us. So it's reasonable and rewarding to walk with God. And in verse 10 of our text, we read the no regret words of Caleb. Now you can see the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I'm 85 years old. That's what he said. It's no regrets. That's wonderful to say, isn't it? He was faithful. In fact, Judges 1:20, the next book over, records God's victory and promise fulfilled for Caleb. You see, he just asked for the land. The people, the descendants of Anak, were still there. They hadn't conquered that land. And Joshua said, Caleb said, give it to me. Give it to me. That's the land God promised, because I will still go to battle at 85 years old. I'm going there because why? Not so much that he believed in his physical strength, but in his spiritual strength. And Joshua 1:20 records, the town of Hebron was given to Caleb as Moses had promised, and Caleb drove out the people living there who were descendants of the three sons of Anak. See, there was victory for him. He hung in there and he saw the victory. John 16:33, Jesus said these words, in this world you will be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I have triumphed over this corrupt world order. I have triumphed. And do we believe that? Do we believe, hey, it's hard, but I know what the victory is? See, it's kind of like watching a sports show. Somebody's already told you the score. Your team won 5-1, but you still want to watch it. You still want to watch the second period. You want to know, how did your team do it? You know, you're not nervous because you know the end result. Somebody's already told you what the end result is. Well, the Bible's already told us. God is victorious. There is no power that can stand against God. And Jesus spoke these words to not just his first followers who would be facing rejection and martyrdom and banishment from Jewish people and Roman authorities, but he wrote these words to all believers. And who was it that said, you know, let's adopt Christianity as the religion of the empire? An emperor named Constantine. Christianity overcame that enemy, one of the greatest forces we've ever known. And it will overcome every single force that comes against it. It doesn't matter what the force is. It will eventually overcome it. And the enemies of God will be humbled. Do we believe that? Do we live like that? Do we live as victors? Do we live in that promise? And again, we return to Joshua 14:13. This is a part we didn't read this morning. And so it says, so Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb because he, Caleb, wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Wholehearted following the Lord will allow us to rejoice, knowing that our rewards and victory await. A day will come when God will illuminate the darkness, when sin will be judged and vanquished. On that day, we'll be rewarded for our wholehearted devotion, for our dedication and determination. Like Caleb, we will see that we were not wasting our time as we obeyed the Lord. So as you look at your life, friend, as you look around in our society, it's not popular to be a Christian. Are you ready to follow God wholeheartedly in every area of your life? We're going to go to a moment of silent prayer as the band is coming up. In this silent moment that we're going to go to in just a moment, I want to ask you to consider talking to the Lord and asking Him to search your heart. To ask Him if you are trusting and following Him in every area of your life. Perhaps we need to say sorry and recommit, make a redecision to a victorious and rewarding path. Let's take that moment of silence. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're always wanting us to come back. You remind us that in so many ways, like the story of the prodigal son. Thank you, Lord, for all those at Grace Point who are faithful followers, who say no to sin, who grow mature so they can be strong in the day of temptation. Lord, thank you that if we've gone off track today, we can make a decision to get back on. We can get on a decision not to remain cynical, not to give up, not to feel sorry for ourselves, because we already have the victory. We already have the victory because you're the one that's actually fighting the battle and you never lose. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, as we sing the following song of commitment, make the Lord King of your heart. Know that God is always victorious. Choose to follow Him wholeheartedly. You will not be let down. Amen.